pockets if it were. If you see me patting my pockets, tell me to stop. Oh, that's good. I'm in glasses now. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for worship and praise and adoration towards you. As we prepare in our hearts right now to receive your word, Lord, I pray that, Lord, that you will just bring to recall everything that you would have me to share with your people as your messenger, Father God, this morning, as your vessel. I pray that you will just use me, Lord, to encourage your people here this morning, gathered in your presence, Lord. Let it be the message of the Father coming through to his children. Let it be the word of God coming through right now, and the word of man or the arm of man be cut off, and let the arm of the Lord be revealed in your house this morning, Lord. We just thank you and praise you for everything that you accomplish through this message. And Father God, we just concentrate and focus right now upon your heart, Lord, and upon you and your words that you speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Crossing the Jordan. We're up to part 6, and it's no surprise that we still haven't got our feet wet yet. We're still not even paddling through it. Isn't that true? It's so much is about preparation before we receive the promise and what God takes us through, whether it's the ups and downs. And we've been going through some different things with a blessed servant. The last study was on Caleb and how determined he was, that dog-like spirit, to what it was like to have the Caleb spirit, to be like a dog with a bone, and not to let go, and to hold on. Talked about some of the characteristics of a dog, how they faithful they are, and that they never answer back, they never do a lot of things, but they also make it a bit of a mess around the house now and again, as we do. And I think the owner always forgives the dog, and it's never any love lost between, a great relationship between the owner and the dog. But the bit that we wanted to focus on was the fact that the Caleb didn't let go of what God, and he was not going to let any situation or circumstance take it out of his hand. That's the message that we need to hear this morning and learn, that he wasn't going to let any situation or circumstance snatch that promise out of his hand. And a thought came to me afterwards, which we will see probably sometime later in the study, that a dog goes away and buries his bone, and at any point that he always knows where to go and dig it up and have a little munch on it. So you should always know where your promises are and go to them and have a little nibble now and again, and just remind yourself and refresh yourself where you've left it, because that's sometimes difficult. Where's that gone? Where is it? And just refresh yourself and renew yourself in God to his promises. I put a title on this week's sermon as being equally yoked. Because, you know, as we see, Caleb stood before thousands and thousands of unbelieving doubters in the shape of the nation called Israel. He could be forgiven for thinking that all was lost, couldn't he? What we've read, what we've seen, what we've heard, thinking, well, he's preached this message and that he's still in this negative attitude. And sometimes that happens, no matter how positively we speak to people and say, yes, do you know God can do it? We still get the our buts, and we still get that negative stuff coming back. And he could be easily forgiven for thinking that, well, what's the point? But he didn't. He held on. Where did he go from here, as it seems that he was the only one trusted in God? You ever felt like that? Elijah felt like that when he was on top of the mountain, when he thought that he was the only one, the only preacher of God, yet God gently reminded him, I got another 400 over here tucked away ready. I got another people. You're not the only one. So you're not the only one that believes this morning. There are many. And I know there's a time that in the New Testament where it says that I will show you more in this town. I will show you new believers. That gentleman that came in this morning was sharing something with me about a group of revival meetings that he's setting up at the end of July. I don't know whether it was pretty brief and it's pretty quick of what he explained to me, but you see, there's other churches around it. We're not the only little church. We're not isolated. We're not on our own. And if we can get connected, this morning is about being connected, whether it's about on the one-to-one or whether it's a church to church, then being equally yoked with other believers, others that can lift us up in a time of trouble. And we used to have that group of meetings, didn't we, on a Tuesday evening once a month. we used to meet with five other churches, and we used to share and encourage one another, because for that particular Tuesday evening on that particular day on that month, then our little congregation became a big congregation, because we would have perhaps 80 to 100 people in here, and then we will go to another church the next month and their little congregation would be puffed up. It's not about just being isolated on your own. We're not island dwellers, we're not island hoppers, but we are part of the body of Christ. And today's message is about God connecting things together, connecting people together, and how he's connected. Even as I look around the church today, I see connections, not just in husband and wife, but in fellowship and bonds of friendship, and you know that you tend to you sit by the same people every week. Because I can see the way that you do it. I should just get up and move around. Let's go sit by someone else. Go and connect yourself to someone else and find out about them. Like they do on the speed dating things. And I'll give you 10 seconds. Go and find out something new. But God is good at connecting. So now it's time for God to step in and honor one of his promises that we need to. We've sung about it already in the song that we sang. Need to hold on like the Caleb's bear, that God never leaves us on our own to face any tasks or future. And I put this down, so I thought about this morning. It's not just the future vision. I put it down as an adventure. So I wonder whether Caleb was thinking that this is an adventure. I'm going out. We're going camping. We're going to break through into the promised land and going on a journey. I'm going on a trip. I'm going to see things and do things that I've never done before. That's what we should be excited about as Christians, going places and doing things that we've never ever done before. 20 years ago, I would have never thought that I could have stood here today and shared with you some of the places that I've been. To the continent of Africa, to America, to all around Europe, to India. And those experiences with other like-minded Christians were absolutely fantastic. Christianity is an exciting journey, and I'm not on my own. But we see in our story that God, right at that moment, he needs to connect our what could we call him? Not hero, but our servant Caleb. Let's call him that. God needs to connect the servant Caleb with somebody before he gets too despondent about the negative stuff that's coming back his way. Because, let me tell you, he preached a cracking message on that day when he said, we are well able to go up and do it. We are well able to overcome. It is in the hearts of the people that did not receive that message, did not receive the assurance and confidence of God. They didn't see it as God speaking, buts come. Instead of receiving, thank you, Caleb. Thank you, preacher. Thank you, messenger, for delivering God's word into our hearts this morning. I want to believe it, and I'm going to hold on to it with that spirit. But then he gets this stuff back. He needs to be connected with someone. I will never leave you or forsake you, Hebrews 13:5 says. And that's taken from Deuteronomy. It's an older promise, Deuteronomy 4:31. Where it says similar words. For the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers that he sware unto them. I wonder if there's something that was instilled into Caleb into thinking that. But you see, he's human. And he's going to have those human feelings as well. Well, you know, am I the only one? It's the same word yesterday, today and tomorrow. So it's the same word that comes to us. The unchanging word of God that can come afresh to you this morning and to us this morning. To give us a hope that when we feel lost or that when we feel alone or afraid, that God will never leave us. Where do you go when you're in those situations? Do you go to God and get a fresh word and remind yourself? It's only 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 words. I'll say them. I will never leave thee or forsake thee. Say them after me. I will never leave thee or forsake me. Let's say it together. God will never leave us or forsake us. Now that might have been written down thousands of years ago. But the writer in Hebrews brings it back to life. And he speaks it with the power of God to people who needed encouragement. To say that you're not on your own. There is a God who will be with you every single step of the way. That's what Caleb needed. God needed to honor the promise that he'd made. That's what Caleb stands and preaches his heart out. Bless him. He needed a hope that his words would not come back empty or void. There is another promise in God. I use it very often when I'm opening up in prayer. That your word, Lord, will not come back empty or void, but it will accomplish everything that you purpose it to, and it will prosper in the heart and the places where you send it. It will not come back empty. It will be like the rain that comes down and brings seeds to the farmer, the sower. It will not be void. So we can never be in a position of speaking the word of God. I will never be able to say this. I will never leave you or forsake thee. Well, that was a waste of time saying that. Because it's never a waste of time speaking God's word. There's lots of other things that we could say which were a complete and utter waste of time. It's called dribble. It's called gossip. Or it's not going to change things. But speaking the word of God will change things. Hallelujah. Stands and preaches that he needs the hope. We are well able to overcome. Are you with me, folks? Are you with me on this? Are we well able to? And he looks back at it. Am I the only one that's believing this? He could be thinking these things. Am I the only one that thinks this way? Well, sometimes, yeah, you could be. Isolated in our family, sometimes as the sole believer and as the sole one that trusts in God, we can be in that position of the... Oh, all right, sorry. That's probably how it went off, yes. Sorry, I'm caught with my hands in my pocket, which might turn this microphone off again. But lost where I was now. Oh, that's a good idea. What if I sit down? Okay, thank you. Sorry about that, folks. Do we get back to where we were? You may be the only one in your family. You may be the only one in your workplace. It might be. And you can feel isolated. You know, I think through the course of the different things and places that I've been, God has always brought someone alongside me to make me think, well, I'm not the only one. I'm not on my own. But God, you can do it. Hallelujah. I'm not the only one that thinks this way. Sometimes when I look out, and sometimes after preaching a message, I might think, well, I'm the only one that's thinking this way. Have I said some odd or strange words? I don't know. Even in a relationship with a married to someone, you could think, well, why don't you get it? Not just the word of God, but just simple things. Because we see things sometimes that other people don't. Other people see things that we don't. But it's about being connected with someone who does know what you think and what you say and what you do and understands you fully. So that you never need to be ashamed of your thoughts and your understanding or lack of it or greatness of it. It doesn't matter. Because there is a God who says, I love you unconditionally just as you are. And you will never be alone. You will never be isolated in your thoughts. You are not the only one who believes in me. That might seem such an obvious statement to make this morning, but I don't think it is. I'm not the only one that's believing for this vision that you have. God is well able to do anything. Amen. God knows his preacher. I'm so glad he does. He knows this preacher. He knows this messenger. He knows him very well indeed. And he also knows you. He knows what you need, just like Caleb did. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? Be not unequally yoked. 6:14. He needed someone. Caleb needed somebody who thought like him. Somebody who believed the way that he did. Someone who talked the same language. The language of faith. That's a positive one. A new song I shall put in your heart. Sing about it. Sing about the great things of God and not about the great things of the world. The same language of faith as he did. He needed somebody to be connected to. That word yoke means connected to. To be like-minded. Hallelujah. Is it great? You ever, so many times, and you hear stories of when people meet and they say, oh yes, our spirit's disconnected. And there's something there. Sometimes you don't have to know all about that person, but something clicks in the spirit and you know that you've connected with a like-minded person. Now there's a reason for that. That's to strengthen the relationship you have, and that's to build up and strengthen the Church of Jesus Christ. Whereas on your own, isolated, you can achieve so much, but together you can achieve so much more. And a yoke, I know that a part of the study that I did on Jesus that we touched on this, but it's a harness that's connected a pair of animals to a plow or a similar tool. Most commonly it would be oxen. That's what we understand as a yoke. Two were joined together so that they could work effectively together. Isn't that wonderful? Effectively together. Made of wooden beams that were shaped to fit the neck of the animals. So the owner would not just grab all of any old lump of wood and just chunk it around his oxen so that they would be chafed around the neck or the shoulders, or it would become a burden, or it would become too heavy, because they wouldn't be able to do the job properly. If he had a big one and a small one, he would make the shape that it fitted on their neck to fit their neck. And it would be exactly. God's got a yoke for you. We see yoke as a great burden sometimes, or responsibility. Well, it could be. But he's got one for you today, tailor-made for you, so it will not cause you. You see, this vision that God had given to Caleb might have been a responsibility, but it was certainly not a burden. It was tailor-made for him. You're going to be able to carry this, Caleb. Think of God at Moriah, what I place in your heart. You're going to be able to carry this. You're going to be able to take it forward. And you know what? I'm going to give you someone alongside you that's going to help you as well, that's going to carry this with you. Because it said that the two worked effectively together. It's no good oxen one or cow one saying, I want to go off to the left. Or cow two saying, I want to go to the right. What you have division. And there's too much of God's church that is in division instead of being united and coming together with one purpose, one aim, that is to go forward, to win souls, and totally transform and change this world that we're living in. My two oxen are going together, driven by the owner. We don't need to be any otherwise than know that God is in charge. He's the one that is putting these forward. He's the one that is setting the direction and the purpose for our lives. You're not going left, you're going straight on. And if you stop, you may just give them a gentle kick up the backside to encourage them to carry on forward. But they accomplish it together. It is a responsibility. It's done as a responsibility. It was a symbol of great responsibility. And here we see that Caleb was carrying that responsibility. Just think of it for a minute. I'm giving Evan Roberts the responsibility for transforming Wales. If you don't know, he was the one that led the 1904 Welsh revival. Can you imagine that, when God spoke into heaven? Yes, Lord. You're going to transform Wales. Okay. How? Andy, you're going to transform Ystrad Mynach. Julie, you're going to transform Wales. Linda, any one of us. We could take that. Oh, no, you've got the wrong guy. I think it should be him. I think it should be her. It's that other super spiritual one at the back. You don't know which one I'm thinking of now, do you? Back there now. All of it. Caleb was carrying that responsibility, and maybe he could be excused into feeling that he was the only one, that God knew that he needed somebody alongside him to help him, the other oxen, to link up and be joined together. That responsibility needed to be shared. And the responsibility for God's church: I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It's not on us to do anything on our own. It's with Christ, and that's the difference. Loving helpers. Remember, there's a character in the Bible who was a loving helper to David called Eliezer. And over the years that Linda and I have been in pastoring this church, then God has always sent us some Eliezers, some loving helpers, men and women who share the same spiritual and physical responsibilities of the vision for the church. Spiritually and physically for the church, to the things that need to be done, and there's things that need to be done to win souls, there's things that need to be done to maintain this beautiful place that God has given us. And if you go back in the Old Testament, there were tribes and sections that were set out who were responsible for carrying the tabernacle, for putting it together, and there was also the tribe of Levites who were the ministers. God had a place and a part for every single one of us. But when you link them all together, you've got something which is ready to move, hallelujah, and advance on the kingdom of the prince of this world right at the moment, of the devil. And so you're not going any further. From now on, we're going to advance into the kingdom of God. We're going into the promised land. This is the promise of souls to be saved. Together. Hallelujah. Not on your own. Not as a lone person going out and flogging yourself to death. And like, come on, you. The owner's not going to do that, is he, to his oxen? Loving helpers. To lead people. That's a big responsibility. Too much for any one person. And then we're reminded in Matthew, the beautiful words of Jesus in Matthew 11, 29 and 30. Take my yoke upon you. Tailor-made. Not me-made. Tailor-made for you. One-to-one relationship. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, says Jesus. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Hallelujah. What a beautiful portion of scripture that is. Caleb needed to be connected to someone who would stand with him. And now we see that person raising up and the connection that is made, which we've spoken about before in Numbers chapter 14, verse 30. Doubtless you shall not come into the land, speaking to the unbelievers, speaking to those who were negative and did not respond in the way that they should. I swear to you to make you dwell within. Save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. Hallelujah, the connection is being made. Joshua, the son of Nun. God puts the yoke on and straps up the harness, puts the yoke on his two servants, puts it on Joshua, puts it on Caleb, comes along gently. My yoke is easy. I'm not going to bind you. I'm not going to hurt you. It's not going to be difficult for you. He comes in and he binds it with cords of love, with cords of fellowship, with cords of friendship, with cords of unity, with cords of working together. And he says, now go. Go see what you can accomplish with the two of you bound together. Hallelujah. Have you been connected to someone in this fellowship in that same sort of way? Then God bless you this morning. If you haven't and you feel like you're on your own and you're going on in circles because you've only got one direction, then you need to get connected to somebody. And I suggest you do that as a matter of urgency. Hallelujah. Because together you can achieve so much more. You know, whether it's in fellowship, a like-minded person speaking about things, talking things over, just to have a chat and unburden yourself. You know, we had a blessed, wonderful time in the church yesterday morning over breakfast and doing some things, but for the first part of the morning, there was some unloading going on, and there was some sharing going on, and my heart was connected to a heart of someone in this congregation who was sharing some things, and I was able to encourage her. They encouraged me by being here. And we encouraged one another in just a conversation. We connected. We had the same spirit. We had the same empathy for one another. We had the same compassion for one another, for the situation that they were in. And God just broke through and showed us together as we talk about things and we connected together. Hallelujah. That probably person is probably thinking, oh, I don't know what he's talking about. Or who was it? You're probably all talking about. And I'm not going to name them. But it was an absolute blessing, and I saw the hand and the power of God working through that connection that came together. Hallelujah. Get connected. Joshua, the beautiful name. Caleb's heart skips a beat. You know, maybe at that point, I don't know how the connection was. I don't know how it was made known. Was Caleb there? He says that he doesn't get that response. Maybe he was at the back. When Caleb was preaching that message, come on, we can do this. And Joshua was at the back jumping up and down going, yay! Preach it, brother! Go for it, go for it! Amen! And then everybody went, sit down. You're making too much noise. Everyone around, sit down. No, I won't sit down. I'm going to make as much noise as I like this morning. Because I know my God is in control. And that's my mate up there. Eh? That's the one that I want to be joined to. I don't want to be joined to you. I'm not pointing at you now. I hope you understand the role play I'm in at the moment through this word. I'm not with you, Israel, and your unbelief. I'm with that fella up there who's held on to the promise of God with all his heart. I want to be with him. I want to be harnessed with him. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. How long you had to wait to cash in on God's promise, really at this point doesn't matter, does it? We know that they had to go 45 plus years before they could realize. And as we hold on to it, that could cause some bitterness and some unrest in some people. But that you want just to accept it as it is. Because by the time that God got out of that unbelief in Israel, all the unbelief, it was going to take that generation. Maybe the children up to an age of understanding would have gone through and passed through that. You had to get through from adult onwards. Those who were well able in their own hearts to make a decision. The 40 years. Which is why they wandered for so long. But on that day, skipping and jumping, hallelujah, this, yes, yay! What mattered was that they both shared the fact that they knew that at some point in the future God was going to do it. Get yourself connected to someone today that you could be in join hearts together and say at some point in the future God's going to break through. Amen. And you share with people the things that are going on in your life. You pray together and you believe together. Is this clicky? No, it's not. But you're speaking and you connect yourself with someone who believes. Amen. Who has the faith and that determination and that doggedness of a Caleb. Joshua's name means the Lord is my salvation. And then he's there thinking, Caleb, Joshua, the Lord is my salvation. Yes, 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 yes. Every time the word is spoken, every time his name is spoken, there's salvation at the end of it. Hallelujah. Every time the name of Christ is spoken and you are a child of, there's salvation attached to it. That's great news of the gospel. Hallelujah. And right at this moment, you were jumping up and down in your seat saying, Caleb, I'm with you. Should we try that again? Right at this moment, you're jumping up in your seat saying, Caleb, I'm with you. Well, you can't see over the crowds of the people. They stand on your chairs. Make yourself known. Speak louder. Do whatever is necessary to push doubt and unbelief out of the way. Because that's exactly what Jesus did when he went to visit the daughter of Jairus. When everybody said, she's dead, what are you doing here now? You're too late. All the doubters and unbelievers, he wrapped them all in a little bundle and he kicked them out the front door and said, get out. Now you'll see the salvation of God. Now you'll see the power of God. When doubt and unbelief is out of the way, he dealt with it. And if he needs to deal with it in our lives, however he does it, I don't know. It might take a week, might take today. Maybe by the time the end of preaching this message, then you've dealt with doubt and unbelief because you want to be connected. Hallelujah. You want to be a Joshua or you want to be a Caleb. You want to be dog-like determined in your heart and your mind to hold on. Or you want to be known for God is my salvation. The one who trusts God for everything. Absolutely. No matter what he sees or hears in front of him, I see and I hear the promises of God. It's heaven speaking to me. No one else. Heaven, hallelujah. Heaven came down and glory shone around. I don't know where that comes from. That's from a Christmas carol somewhere, isn't it? Is it? Heaven came down and glory shone around. Hallelujah. Praise God for that this morning. Bless you. Go for it, go on. I can get my mind together. Keep singing, go on, keep singing. Hallelujah. You keep singing because I don't know where I'm going with this, yeah? Hallelujah. Praise God. His calling. Born in Egypt, he went through the same great events of the Passover that everybody else did. Yet, sometimes we wonder what makes great leaders. Why are some men and women called out above? Perhaps I've just shown you some of the things this morning and shared with you from my heart of why God was out. Many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called, There's a lot of people that are called to come to God, but there's only a few are chosen. How are you chosen? Well, by the way you respond. You immediately are chosen when you respond. Isn't that good? You see, Caleb and Joshua responded in faith, so they were chosen. They were chosen to be the vessels. Only two of them out of all those thousands of people. Exodus 24:13. Moses rose up, and his servant Joshua, and Moses went up to the Mount of God. Wow. Look who Joshua was connected to. The already chosen one of Moses that led the Exodus. Already the great prophet. Look who he's attached himself to. Now, I'm not suggesting that you can go around and you connect yourself to any great prophet, or that you've got to come and camp outside my door. Or not that I'm a great prophet, please, I was not making that similarity this morning. But it's who you connect yourself to. Men and women of God. And a friendship and a blessing, and to be equally yoked. You need just to be careful and thoughtful of who you're actually connected to. Who you're going to share with. Because some things that you share with the heart, you want that person to, you trust in them. You don't want them to just trash it and go away and do things with it. You attached himself to Moses. So the question to you today is, what are you attached to? Are we attached to the things of the world still? Have we still not made that complete and utter separation? And have we made that connection to God? Or is there still some bits that are holding on to the ways of the world? You see, it's not about being a quick learner, although we see that it's just about answering the call of God upon your life and being obedient. Being moved by what God has done in your life. Being moved by the power of the cross. If there's a God that is willing to do that for me, I am moved by that. And if I don't move to make a decision in the right way towards God as a result of it, then I'm a fool. And this world is full of fools who have not responded to the message of God, to the message of salvation. Just look at it in its reality. Do you want to be beat up, lonely, or afraid? Or do you want to be connected to someone who is going to support you, uphold you, always speak faith over you, always love you? Hallelujah, this morning. God is good. And in Exodus 33:11. I've lost it. Oh, there it is. The Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. And he turned again to the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, the young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. He didn't waver or deviate from any of the things. Moses was away on private business with God. If you have any understanding of scripture, the time that this happened before, when Moses up on the mount, he came back down and they'd all turned to idolism. They got every single gold thing and made a gold calf out of it. Oh, it just jumped out of the fire, they said. Oh yeah, yeah. No, that's what you wanted. That was the last time when Moses went away. This time, where can Joshua be found? Did not leave the tabernacle. Did not leave the presence of God. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. It's great to be in God's presence and God's house. People say, I don't need to go to church. I don't need to go to church to be a Christian. Well, where's your connection? Where's your understanding? And what opportunities are you allowing God to pour into your life so that you can go forward and make a difference? So that you can believe? So that you can change and transform this world? People who say they don't need to go to church to be a Christian are selfish people who think that they can work it on their own merits. Pride goes before a fall. They're headed for a downfall. Don't let anybody fool you with that. You need to be in fellowship. Do not forsake the gathering of the saints of God, for it is it's for your good. It's for the good of the church this morning, for each and every one of us. Moses was just a man, God's chosen man, but we see Joshua that was attached to him. And as he was away doing business, isn't it lovely to see? Joshua was in the tabernacle. doing exactly what Moses had asked him to do. Faithful. So we look at the spirit of Caleb, and we look at the spirit of Caleb who was determined and dog-minded, and we look at the faithfulness of Joshua. When we begin to put those things together, we get a spirit that is going to change the world. Because it is the spirit of God. Working together. Obedient, faithful. Found in the house of God. Sitting at the feet of Jesus. Listening to every single word that he says. And then believing, hallelujah. Maybe one read to the other, I don't know. Joshua's reading it, this is what God's going to do. And Caleb is saying, yes, I believe you, Joshua. And the other way around, and sharing thoughts and sharing dreams and aspirations and all the hopes and visions with each one of them. Yes, brilliant. Sharing together and being strengthened together as a church. God is going to use us. I don't know how, and I don't know when. If it takes 45 years, I don't want to be looking in the mirror when it happens. I'll probably be very old and wrinkly. But it's going to happen. It's going to happen. If we receive that in our spirit today, and I can connect myself with somebody who does it, I have a hope. That will get me through those days when I feel like saying, I don't want to do this anymore. I've had everything kicked out of me because of the apathy of the people. Not you. In relation to what we're studying, please put it in relativeness. Make it. Because that's what happens. You know, I was absolutely, it just as an illustration, this is totally off the board, I'm totally not connected spiritually or anything, but just the fact that I was encouraged in my job while I was sat there getting abused by parents who go to school, because part of my job is to look after the safety of any given school that I'm attending at that particular time to make sure that all the roads are safe and everything. I'm stood there getting shouted at by people saying, this, have you got anything better to do? Yes, I have, but because you're acting like an idiot, I got to be here. That's true. And a couple came over to me and said, do you mind if we come out in broken English, can we take some pictures up high? Well, I was looking around, I think, well, unless you go and stand on someone's rooftop, then I don't know how you're going to do it. And she had something in her hand, and it was she said no, and she uncovered it, and it was a drone. So she wanted my permission to go and fly over the castle. Sorry, I missed that bit out. I was by the castle. Yeah, I was over some nondescript place at the time, like an empty field. It wanted my permission to put this drone up to fly over the castle. I said, well, you can't do that here. Don't let it take off from here. But see the drawbridge over there. If you go over the drawbridge and stand between there, and you can send it up. I was just thinking they'd go back 10, 15 feet. It went up about 200 foot. Unbelievable. And I said, but if anyone from the castle comes out, then, and they say stop, then just don't tell them I give you permission. Just appreciate what they're telling you and come away and say thank you and be glad with whatever you got. Well, they were gone for about half an hour, and I could see this thing going up and it turned small, and then they came over and they said, thank you so much for doing that. Can you give me your email address so we can send you a... I should, yeah, okay. So I gave them my business card from a church. That's the only thing I had on me, with the email address that they would... Ooh, back pocket. That they would... Well, that was where my card was. I gave them the card, and they said, oh, we're going back to Italy tomorrow. I'll send it over to you. Well, 2 days ago, I had a little WhatsApp message with a film clip attached to it of this 1.5 minute of this flyover film from this. And at the end of it, it said, thank you, Pastor Andrew. That, I tell you what, that lifted me up. I don't care what they say when I'm stood there next time. I will be able to stand there and know that some point in my day, I can make a difference. And I can transform somebody's life. That's what it's all about. We never know where the next opportunities go along. I could have just simply said, oh no, you've got to have a license for those. Oh no, and then we hit people over with the Ten Commandments. Oh no, thrice no, you can't do that. I was just blessed and I was encouraged. What that had to do with this preaching, I got absolutely no idea. But In Psalm 84, I'll just summarize this and I'll come to the end because there's a few bits that I just want to share also. In Psalm 84 and verse 10, it says, I would... A day in your courts is better than a thousand in the world. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in your house, my God, than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. To be found in the right place, as Joshua was. Hallelujah. Connected to the right people. You know, one sermon, one message, one moment of your heart actually being attentive to what God is saying at any given time can change your life. It doesn't have to be a day. And that is far better than a lifetime of striving to try to make up for things that perhaps have gone wrong. And that moment is just simply saying, God, I believe you. I believe you, Jesus, you're the Son of God, that you died for me to take away my sin and all my wrongs. I believe in my heart that you rose again from the dead. Please forgive me. That took a little longer than a moment, but it's not long, is it? And that's all we need to do to confess the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. For that moment, I'd rather be in God's house and be transformed by the moments that he is able to. If the Spirit is God is going to speak into your heart, it's more likely that he's going to speak it to him when there is a great gathering and a great believing of souls together. Because God inhabits the praises of his people. That's where he says that he lives. In the exaltation and praises of you today as your heart sings out to God. God is there. Hallelujah. So the more we are, the better. Hallelujah. At Moses' death, Joshua was chosen to be his successor. That's what the Bible tells us. He led the Israelites to conquer the land. He supervised the division of the territory among the 12. I reckon he would have more than one time gone to his mate and said, Caleb, what do you reckon we should do with that? Could you come and help me do this? Come and show me. What's your viewpoint on this? And he'd give him God's perspective on the situation. And that make a difference. Hallelujah. So we can see from everything that we've heard there why Joshua and Caleb are joined together. They had to work in perfect harmony to go forward. Synchronized plowing. Why don't we do some of that in the church? Amen. Synchronized believing. Synchronized trusting. Today, the question is God's church pulling together or is it pulling apart? In some places, sadly, it's pulling apart. And we can see the effect that it has on it. Moral decline, the erosion of some of the word, the things of God, and the raising up of things of man today. But let me tell you, this church has been founded upon the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, upon the fundamental truths that Christ died for the forgiveness of sins and rose again for all who believe. That's the foundation of this church. The walls may fall down, but the foundations remain. And the walls can be quickly built up again in a matter of moments. Today's church, hallelujah. In 1 Samuel, there's a beautiful... I've used this as a scripture on the website for the men's fellowship. 1 Samuel 18, 1-4. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, King Saul, that the soul, spirit, of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as his own. And he took him that day and would not let him go more home to his father's house. And Jonathan and David made a covenant, because he loved him as his own soul. Jonathan stripped himself of his robe that was upon him and gave it to David, and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle. Beautiful relationship there established between Jonathan and David. As this says that their souls were knit together. Now Mandy knows why I needed the knitting needles, but she's gone. Where's she gone? Oh, right. She gone far? Ah, she said she was going to tend to, yeah. Ah. So I chose green. She said, why green? I said, it was her favourite colour when I was a boy. She said, but she had to give me a bundle of things. So I used to be able to knit. I've got a clue now. I'm in a one pearl, one plain. You knit something again, what will I get? Put it together, slip it on, and this bit gets bigger. Until you put it in?
Yeah. In the round, throw one off.
That's it. That's it. Me telling you, yeah. Yeah. Correct. You just passed my knitting class. Yeah. And you end up with a... So my suggestion is today is that for that garment to look good, we take we go, one Joshua, one Caleb, and then we end up at the end of it, a garment which is full of righteousness and fit for purpose to go forward in God. Hallelujah. Just their souls were knit together to the extent of their love and friendship and their bond that they have, that he took off his garments, he was willing to give them to his friend. I put friend in there because that's what it is. They had such a friendship. I haven't got enough time this morning to go into the real details and the intimacy of that friendship, but it was so close. It was as God intended it to be. It was as God wanted it to be, that they would support one another. And it's a spirit which is known as an armor bearer. That an armor bearer was simply a servant that would literally lay down his life for another, that would stand in the way, even until death, that would stand in the way of the arrows, that would stand in the way of the fighting. And this friendship and this fellowship that was drawing up and building up between Joshua and Caleb, they were willing to die for one another. They were willing to lay down everything for her. Greater love has no man than to lay down his life for his brother. They were willing to stand there and take the fiery darts of the enemy, stand as their shield of faith, raise up their own sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and speak back. That was how close their fellowship was. And the Bible is littered with armor-bearing fellowship and connections that are made throughout the whole Bible. Even Jonathan had his own armor-bearer. And at one point, Jonathan said to his armor-bearer, "Let's go up together. Maybe today the Lord will do great things. There may be a time when you're connected to your Joshua or Caleb. You might just say that you don't absolutely know what's going to happen, but you know God's going to be with you. Then just say, well, let's go up and see what happens. Because I know that God is going to be with us. And it's going to be exciting. And it's going to be a journey. Hallelujah. And it's going to give God all the glory. Because he would have seen it, that we weren't afraid and we weren't fearful. That we were risk takers. We were willing to take not a gamble. We were willing to go for it. And trust you this morning, Lord. And I'll finish on this one last passage of scripture, which is 1 Samuel 16, 21 and 22. Another example of someone being an armor bearer. But I want to see that you to see this just a bit slightly different this time. David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, "Let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he has found favor in my sight." David answered the call to come to the king. David answered the call to serve the king. Isn't that our calling? Isn't that what King Jesus is asking us to do this morning? Come to me. In that verse 22, it says that Saul sent a message to David's dad. Release him, let him go. He left everything behind. Left his old life behind. The life that God had prepared him in his sheep tending for years and years and years and years. To bring him into the court. Whatever preparation of right now, whatever preparation God has been doing, that he speaks and says, now is the time. Come and serve the King Jesus. Hallelujah. And it says that he loved him. He used his gifts because he was a great musician. He used his gifts in the court of King Saul. We use our gifts in the courts of King Jesus to make a difference. What he does with that is up to him. But he takes what you've got. Hallelujah. And makes a difference. To become his armor bearer, he joined to the king by the, it says that he loved that he has for him. And he loved him, he said. David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly. Do you love the Lord greatly this morning? Because that's the connection that we made. We've seen Joshua and we've seen Caleb of the same spirit coming together. Now I suggest to you that we come together with the same spirit of being connected to our Lord Jesus Christ. We come connected to God, and the only way you can become connected to God in the sense of what we believe in the gospel is by believing and confessing and getting connected to the Lord Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father but by me. You cannot be connected in the things that we've been speaking, unless you go through Jesus Christ and connect yourself through Jesus Christ first, then you'll have a God that says, I will never leave you or forsake you. And you can stand strong when difficulties come and know that you will be supported by a Savior who died for you, a Savior that understands you, a Savior that you can talk about like Joshua and Caleb would have done, a Savior who can talk to you like you would do with the brother or sister sat right next to you right now in this congregation. You have a Savior who will keep you in confidence, who will not go around sharing some of the things that you say. It's between you and Him. This morning, saint of God, get yourself connected to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Your Savior can be your Savior this morning if you choose to do so. Hallelujah. And all God's people said, yes, amen. Great sermon, Caleb. I want to be with you. I'm with you, I'm with you. And the church comes together as a living, breathing organism, entity, church, Spirit of God, whatever you think, the movement to make a difference. We're advancing on the kingdom, hallelujah. We're advancing to the promised land. We're going to make that difference. Anyone who's prepared to be connected through God, through Jesus Christ, is well on their way to the promised land. We're getting closer. Still some things that we got to do. There's a couple more sermons that we'll preach, and Linda's going to pop up with one in a couple of weeks' time that we're to do with Joshua. Sanctify yourself, for tomorrow the Lord is going to do great things amongst you. I'm excited about what God is doing. I'm excited about the Word of God and the preaching and the teaching of His most precious Word. Let's get connected to one another. Hallelujah. As the Spirit of God would have us to do, with cords that cannot be broken. Now I can put my hand into my pocket and turn it off. Amen. God bless you.